thank you so much for that. What a blessing. I'm already filled. I hope that you realize you heard greatness moments ago.
Amen.
I truly hope, and you understand there's enough wisdom in that one message that Brother Cox preached had sustained your Christianity if you download all the information that come from the scriptures. Let me tell you something. We're going through some dark valleys. It breaks my heart. You know, one of the biggest things that breaks my heart, Brother Cox, is people don't listen.
Right.
You know, they're not only not listening with their mind, they're not listening with their heart.
Right.
I sit here with a broken heart, and I've listened to those songs and those words. I just about can't contain myself. Right. You know why? Because it's so real to me. Because the scriptures show me.
Right.
One of these days, I'm going to behold him. I look at some of you little old teenage boys out there. You don't even have a clue what she's singing about. You don't know the same God that I know. And last night it just broke my heart. I saw some of you sleeping. I don't understand that. I mean, listen, you're looking at somebody right now. I've got to sleep in service, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been saved 23 years next month. 23 years. I've never fell asleep in a service in my entire life. Not one time. Now listen, my wife sometimes, for we got saved at Brother Cox, and I'd been out on old drunk Saturday before, and she said, you know, we need to go down here to church house. We living like devils. And I'll go with you, and I'd sit there, Brother Bell, I'd sit right in two rows in front. It didn't bother me, and I would sleep all the way through, and that's some of the best sleeping I've ever done in my life. It didn't bother me. The man standing up here preaching, I dropped my head, and I would totally, and she'd help, I leave me alone. I ain't, yeah. High disrespect, but you know, I didn't know who he was talking about. I'll tell you something. I went to Bible college, buddy. I worked all day, 10 hours a day, and went to college at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Darrell Moore, I tell you, I never seen that boy go to sleep. Why? Because I'm scared to death. I'm going to hear something that pivots between life and death of my Christianity. It is that important to me. Boy, I didn't get way off track. I didn't come to preach on that at all. I'm sorry. Y'all go ahead and you go back to sleep. God's honest truth, had my hand on a message this morning that I thought God wanted me to preach. I love the message. It encourages me so much when I preach it. It's unbelievable God gave me this message. It's absolutely transformed my Christianity. It was 1 Samuel 30. God said, you can't preach at this morning. I said, Lord, I want to preach this message. Trust me. You can't preach. Stood up and preached that scripture. You know, Holy Spirit don't make any mistakes.
Right.
I feel so comfortable right now with this message right here. I'm begging God to use it. Why? I want him to encourage you.
Amen.
I want every one of us to be encouraged when we leave this building this morning. I believe I'm going to preach on one of the worst sins that any Christian can ever commit in his entire life. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, if you would. Oh, Brother Rob, what is it? Drunkenness. Oh, what is it? Adultery, fornication. No. I believe it's even worse than those sins. Let's all stand, give reverence to the Word of God right quick. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. The Bible said, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, listen, he's coming back home. He taught them in their synagogues, and so much as they were astonished, and said, whence have this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his son James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are not they all with us? Whence then have this man all these things? And listen, this is a religious crowd right here now. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And I'm going to preach on this verse 58. This is my text verse this morning. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Father, we sure do love you, and we thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for that message we just heard, God. I pray that you'd use it, and God, I pray that you just take the transition from that message to this message and bless your word this morning in an unbelievable way. God, I pray that you'd speak through me and use me as just a tool, God. Move humanity out of the way, God, and please, God, I pray that you'd give me clarity of mind and understanding of what the Spirit should have me to say, God. I thank you so much in what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do throughout the rest of this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Notice the verse says, and he did not many mighty works there because of the unbelief. You know, it sounds like that he had planned to do a lot of mighty works in his own hometown. And it sounds to me like, you know, these preachers here and this religious crowd, they got offended of him. Now, I couldn't understand that. But Brother Cox, I went back down to my hometown after I'd been gone several years. I spoke to a preacher and I said, boy, it'd be great to have a tent meeting right here in my hometown. He said, let's do it, Brother Rob. I said, what? He said, let's throw one up, man. I'm talking about 3 days, 3 days. We put a tent up out there on a place right there in my hometown and just advertise it the best we could. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody knew in my hometown where I came from and the road I'd went down and the miry pit that I was in and the drunkenness and the drugs and all that and in trouble with the law. And I'm going to tell you, son, they come out of the woodworks. And boy, it started raining. I mean, man, it started raining like crazy. I mean, it flooded the whole place. And honestly, water was this deep on the ground. And we'd get out there and group up and pray and beg God, just give us a break. And God's honest truth, he shut it out 20 minutes before the meeting. And that thing would fill up in there, man. And I'm going to tell you, teenagers were falling in the altar down in this old marsh and nasty stuff and getting saved and getting right. And I'm going to tell you, drug buddies and old drunkard buddies was coming out of the woodwork, so walking out and getting saved, amen. And I put something on some screens there that night. I put some things exposing sin in our country that night. And I'm going to tell you something. They were offended. Oh, it wasn't the drunkards. Oh, it wasn't the teenagers got offended. It was the preachers that night. They said, Brother Rob, you can't do that. You can't expose sin like that publicly. They canceled meetings with me. Call me. I'm going to tell you, we live in a sad time. And when preachers cancel meetings from men of God that's going to stand up on their hind legs and preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. A limited, an unlimited God. You notice that was in the New Testament. Let's quickly flip over to the Old Testament to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. In verse 40, if you found your place there, the Bible said, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now listen, if I ever got a nickname in the ministry, I would simply want it to be Rob Hicks, Mr. Simplicity. Mr. Simplicity. I don't want you to wonder where I stand after I walk out of the pulpit. I don't want you to wonder about what I'm preaching on. I don't want to try to bring some deep philosophical truth right there that you're scratching your head and say, well, did he mean this or did he mean that? I want to be known as a preacher that'll put the jelly on the bottom shelf. I want every youngster to know what I'm preaching on. I want to be so simple, amen, that God can take it and use it in anybody's life. I'm not the smartest dude on the corner, amen, but I'm going to tell you, if I believe these two scriptures, that I believe in myself, Rob Hicks, I have the power within my own self to limit an unlimited power of God Almighty. Amen. I want to preach on this thought. Please don't limit an unlimited God. Please don't limit an unlimited God. Hey, how did they limit him? They limit him with unbelief. What is unbelief? It's a lack of faith. Now look at me. I want your eyeballs on me. I'm not one of these old preachers, amen, that can't look you in your God-given eyeballs. I want you looking at me the whole time. This is straight from God, straight to you, amen. I'm going to tell you, God's got something for you personally this morning. This ain't about forever, all the world. It's about you and it's about me. We are appointed to be here at this time. Now, what is unbelief? It's a lack of faith. What is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You cannot see it. You cannot touch it. It is there, exists. You have to grab a hold to it and trust it, amen. Yeah. Now, can a person have faith and not have doubt? Well, I believe that question to be answered in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. We have the three Hebrew children. We have the king saying, you're going to bow down. You're going to bow down to this electric guitar and these drums and all this hop-knot stuff out here. You're going to bow down. The Bible said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Oh, you can throw us in there if you want to, but look here. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But the next verse simply says, but if not. It was a question mark. Let me tell you something. Real faith, there's always a question mark. However, that question mark should be minute. It's always going to be there. We should build our faith more and more and more and decrease that unbelief. As he said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'm going to tell you people, we need to be a people today that we can stand up and say, I'm not sure how all this is going to end, but I do know what the word of God says. I know what Jesus Christ wants me to do, and regardless of the consequences, I'm going to tell it, amen. How can a person increase his faith and decrease his unbelief? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Sitting under good preaching, just like Brother Cox over there. I'm going to tell you something. We listen to way too much music nowadays, amen. Now, you look at somebody that loves good godly music. Son, I get to driving and squalling down a car when I'm traveling, and the Holy Ghost will take a song. I mean, man, it'll take me slam through the roof. But, buddy, if I keep doing that, I will not be fed. I've got to have the word of God. I've got to have preaching. I've got to have an old preacher to just absolutely skin me up one side down the other, coming up and down these interstates right here. What is it doing? It is building my faith in my God. Amen. Also by asking. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thy mine unbelief. Listen to me, everybody's been there. All the way back to Jesus Christ, they've been there. Let me tell you something, friend. We don't have all the answers, and it's okay to get out on your bedside and say, God, I'm going to tell you something. I'm having a problem believing this is right. I'm having a problem believing that this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm having a problem understanding what's happened with that next question is, God, please help me with my unbelief. Church, it is okay. Just ask him.
Amen.
Ask him.
Amen.
You know what he does? He builds your faith.
Amen.
He builds your faith. I'm going to give you four or five places that I've been guilty of limiting and unlimited to God. Because if God can't change my life with a message, how should I ever expect him to change your life with a message?
Right.
Some ways we limit an unlimited God. Number one is salvation. Oh boy, I believe we've all been guilty. Boy, we're Christians here today. We like to see people saved. We live in this old busy world, amen. How many times we whooped up at a gas station going, we grabbed that pump, and oh, son, he's a long-haired hippie vagabond over there with earrings all in his ears hanging down. He ain't got nothing. And God said, go give that boy. Go give that boy a track right now. And Lord, I'm going to be late. I really got to go. And I mean, he's 50 yards over there, Lord. And the Spirit of God says, go over there and take that track. How many times have you and I, if we're honest right now, guilty of getting in our car and driving off, and we drive off, we know we have missed it right there. The Holy Spirit said you weren't supposed to leave. I have to be shameful, but I did it. I did it in my life. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be guilty. I'm going to tell you, I believe it goes all the way back to the Bible. I can see Peter and Jesus walking down the road. I can see Jesus say, hey, why don't we go visit that? I don't boy that in our day. They nicknamed a maniac. That maniac of Gardia. Oh, yeah. Let's go visit him. Well, Peter said, I tell you what, man, I've heard a lot about that dude. That's a bad dude down there, Lord. I mean, man, he cuts himself with stones, hoots and hollers and squeals in the middle of the night. I heard they put chains on him, son, and he break them chains loose. Come on, I'll be honest with you, Lord. I mean, man, he lives in a graveyard. That'll tell you something right there. I mean, he likes death. Lord, and probably if we went down there and led him to Christ, he probably never would come to church. No way, amen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what your Bible says, but my King James Bible said, son, when he saw Jesus, son, he got saved. By the grace of God, I'm going to tell you, there's not a soul too rough. There's not a soul that's been too far. I'm going to tell you, if he ever gets his eyes on Jesus, it'll change his life. I thank God for my grandma tonight. I called her Nanny, and she's the only spiritual guidance I had in my life, Brother Cox. My mama kicked me out, rightfully so, when I was 18 years old, and drugs and liquor and all that, so get it out of this house. I'll tell you something. I run, bounce around here, there, living here, there, and drinking up everything that I could drink, smoking up everything I could smoke, getting into all the trouble I could get into. And my nanny said, "Hey, baby, why don't you just come in and move with me?" Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, after done doing that for a while, I said, "Okay, nanny, I'll move in with you." You know, nanny made me think that she just going to take care of a little grandboy, but she had a plan. She had a plan. Come on in here and watch some TV with me. I come in there and sit down. Nanny would open up that big old King James Bible and just start reading it for a little bit, and she'd look up and she said, "Baby," she said, "Jesus will change your life if you let him." I said, "Nanny, listen, I love you, I respect you," I said, "but I don't want to hear that name Jesus. I don't want to even see that Bible. I mean, won't you read that when I'm not around? I don't want that in my life. I got my own life. I don't need somebody telling me how to live." I will tell you something, friend. 1-2 o'clock in the morning, my so-called friends would pull up in a junkie car with me in the back, all messed up in my mind. I'm gonna tell you, I'd get a roll out of that old car, liquor on my breath, drugs in my top pocket, and vomit on my shirt. I couldn't even walk. I'm going to tell you something. I'd get down on my hands and knees, and I'd crawl all the way up that sidewalk to that little old apartment. And I can remember, I'm going to tell you something. I can remember, Brother Bell, on my knees and feeling with that key trying to get it in that door like that. Finally get it in there, and I'd go all the way down that hall trying to make it to my bed. And when I'd get by my nanny's door there on the left, she would purposely leave it open. A little old dim orange light would be burning in there, and she'd be down on the side of that bed saying, dear God, please don't let my grandboy go to hell. Oh, dear God, don't let my grandboy go to hell. I'd go on in the bed. I'd put my fingers in my ears. I'd put pillows on my head. I didn't want to hear that praying, Grandmama. But I want to tell you something tonight. Hey, Grandmama, if you got away with grandboy, don't give up on it. Keep praying, amen. Hey, Mama, if you got away with boy, keep praying. I'm going to tell you something, bless God. She's the first woman I came to when I got saved. And son, she absolutely had a conniption fit. I was preaching down in Guadalajara, Mexico when she died. I flew back in. I stood up and preached her funeral and praised her name. And about 9 people got saved by the grace of God. Thank God. And a praying grandmama wasn't willing to limit an unlimited God in salvation. Number two, we limit God through the storms in our life. We limit God through the storms in our life. Why, God? Why has this happened to me? I love you and I walk with you and I want to serve you. Why do I got to go through this particular thing? You picking on me, God. 2 Corinthians 1:7, the Bible said, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation." Did you understand that? There's a purpose for every single thing that God does in our life. And let me tell you something, we do not have to understand. Get that down. We do not have to understand, because it may be years and years, and honestly, you may never understand till you're face to face with that Savior. Yes, sir. 450 times in the Bible, the words come to pass. But I'm going to tell you, for some people in the Bible, it came to stay. It came to stay. I'll tell you, I got saved, got fired up for God. I went to Bible college up there. I had a great business, making great money. I mean, everything was wonderful, but I knew God wanted me to go to Bible college and train for the ministry. You say, why? I tell you why. Because I'm sick and tired of seeing people use God's people for a bunch of guinea pigs. I mean, we need to go and sit under some great men. Maybe not so much to learn what to do, but listen to them and learn what not to do. Amen. They share mistakes in life, and that's how people become better leaders, as understand through others in a revolutionary of making the least amount of mistakes as we possibly can. Somebody say amen. Amen. Got busy in the ministry, serving God and bus route, loving little old kids and bringing them to school. And me and my wife had a day bus route, a night bus route, preaching Saturdays in parks to teenagers and seeing them saved. Oh, man, living on top of the world. Boy, I'm right in the middle of the will of God. Man, I'm safe and sound now. I'm going to tell you something, long story short. I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget my wife calling me on the phone. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't understand why she told me this news on the phone. She called me crying on the other side. She said, "Rob," she said, "the test came back today." She said, "I have cancer." I have malignant melanoma cancer, Rob, in the fourth stage, and my heart failed in my ankle, and I say I can't even see her right now. Why did you say that to me on the phone? She's miles away. I said, baby, I'm headed home right now. I hung the phone up, and I'm crying going down the road. I can remember this old junky car falling. All the pieces of snow was about 18 inches deep, and I was driving that, and I was talking to God, and I said, God, I can't believe this is happening. I need my wife in the ministry. I'll give you everything. I shut the business down. I moved from Alabama to Indiana. God, I'm in the ministry. I love you. There's no sin. I said, I've given you everything. The Holy Spirit said, no, you have not. I pulled the car over in the snow. I got out of that car. I kneeled down in that old nasty black snow. I said, you're right, God. I'm sorry. I said, as much as I love my wife, as much as I need my wife, I'm going to promise you something right now. If you choose to take her, I will not turn either way. I will stay straight. I will lift up your name. I will preach the word of God. I will keep on as long as I have breath to breathe. I have given you everything, God. Amen. Shortly after that, my firstborn, Hunter, my apple of my eye, he's fixing to turn 22 years old next month. Diagnosed with autism. I sat across from a doctor I never heard the word before in my life. He could give me no consolation whatsoever. He said, son, I can't tell you if he's going to talk. I can't tell you how he's going to walk. I can't tell you anything about his life and how he's going to be when he's growing up in his youth, his teens, or his life at all. I can't give you any comfort. Oh, my soul. And then I went to work right after that and fell 10 foot on, hit on my heels and busted up my back. My whole life is coming apart, God, and I just wanted to serve you. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to work and take care. I don't know how I'm going to take care of a special needs child. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this thing. I remember as well as just, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I remember me and my wife falling on our face before God, and I said, I've got to claim a verse, and that verse is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love of God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I said, honey, I don't know what's going on in our lives right now, but I do know that we're called according to his purpose. And I said, we just got to keep on keeping on. And I said, one day at a time, baby. If we can make it through today, God will take us through tomorrow. I'll never forget. She had two major surgeries. She's 5 months pregnant with my second little boy. And later she was said, sir, we can't find any more cancer. Long story short, my Hunter today is bigger than I am. You ask Ryan, he's a ball of joy. He has the mentality of about a 4-year-old kid, but he brings more joy everywhere he goes. They don't even care anything about seeing the Hicks family when Hunter's with us. It's all about Hunter. He's the glue that keeps our family right in place to where it should be. Amen. God's made a way to where different situations and different procedures that I'm able to go and preach and work. It's all a miracle. I remember standing up one time after John Wrightson came to college. I made this guy mad. I told him at pastor school one day when he told me he was going to go on a full-time Christian service. I said, well, John, I said, you ever been to college? He said, no. I said, we got to come to Hiles Anderson. And he got mad at me. I mean, he really got mad. He said, I'm already in full time. I'm just going to be a pastor one day. I said, Doc, I said, we don't need to treat God's people as guinea pigs. We ought to go to school. And he got bitter. About 3 months later, he wrote me a letter. And he said, Brother Rob, I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit was leading you to tell me that. And I just got bitter at you. I'm getting rid of everything I got, and I'm coming to college. Amen. And I'd be a liar, Brother Bale, if I didn't poke my chest out and say, boy, I got another man to surrender to do right and come to college and learn and serve God. I did. I didn't tell nobody that, but I'll be honest with you, that's the way I felt, and that's wrong. I'm going to tell you that's wrong. I'm going to tell you why that's wrong. Buddy, I'm going to tell you it didn't have a thing to do with that. But that guy came to college. He got sick. I mean, he got sick and got this infection. His leg swelled up so big. I mean, he couldn't even wear pants. He was in a wheelchair. We had to pick him up in that wheelchair and carry him to class. I said, oh, my soul, he's going to quit. I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell me I've ruined his life. He's going to tell me that he can't do this. It's the biggest mistake. I was so fretful of what was going on. But I'm going to tell you, he stayed with the stuff. He stayed with the stuff through the entire thing. And he went through it. I mean, he went through it, buddy. He graduated and went down there and started a church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I preached there 10 revivals there in 10 years. And he stood up and gave his testimony, boy. And he said, you know, Rob Hicks made me so mad I couldn't see straight when I met him, telling me I need to come to college. Boy, I didn't want to come to college. And I'm going to tell you, son, God began to tear my heart up. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I watched his family. I watched his wife go through cancer. I watched his child go through autism. I watched him stay together with his family. It didn't have anything to do with that conversation. It had to do with the grace of God. And he said, if God would do that for his family, God would do it for my family. Yeah. It's about consolation. Yeah. I never had the Holy Spirit to unplug me like he did that night. Boy, you're talking about taking the pride out of somebody. And I'm not talking about purpose pride. I'm not talking about boasting, but I'd lie to you if I said I didn't have it in here. There's a purpose for all our storms. Boy, I got to hurry. I got to get somewhere. You know what? We limit God in salvation. We limit God's storms in our life. We limit God with feeding our families sometimes. In Luke chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible said, but he said unto them, give them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go buy meat for these people. For they were about 5,000 of them. Disciples, make them sit down. 50s in a company, and they did so and made them all sit down. And then he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven and blessed them and break and gave to the disciples. Let me tell you something, it was more to eat than you can imagine that day, amen. The Bible said, and they did eat and were all filled and were taking up the fragments and remained 12 baskets. I'm going to tell you something that got me that day. 12 baskets. And I know a lot of ain't nothing wrong with this. Listen, you preach that any way you want to, but it said 12 baskets, and this little old kid took all them 12 baskets. I have a hard time with that. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. But I just started looking at everything. There was 12 disciples there. There were 12 of them. Right. And I see Jesus turn around to his men. And I said, boys, take this home. Take this on back to the house, will you? I can see old Peter, amen. Woo, baby, look at here. I'm going to tell you something. God has done stepped in today. Boy, he fed a whole crowd out there. I want 3 hush puppies and 2 catfish. And I'm going to tell you, we had us a time, amen. Here's the rest of it, baby. Oh, she got all that stuff out and put it on the table. There's having leftovers, amen. Clean that old basket up. You know how them women are. They clean them baskets up and they put that potpourri in there and make your house smell all nice and everything. She put that thing out there on the coffee table. I can see it right now. This is the way it happened. I got it inside, amen. And she put that thing because she was probably more spiritual than Peter was. Oh, yeah. Why, Brother Rob? Hey, that was a big day. But Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven. That was a big day that day. And, buddy, I'm going to tell you, he left and he's gone now. And Jesus is not around anymore. And, buddy, Peter had his chest bowed out that day. But I'll guarantee you down the road, son, it wasn't that way. He didn't know where he was going to get his next meal. He didn't know where he was going to get his money. He didn't know where he was going to get anything. Oh, Peter come back home to his wife. He's walking with him, shoulders shut down. He looked and sees that basket. And son, he started having him a spell. He said, I forgot if God can feed 5,000. Surely he can feed this family right here. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, God will take care of his own. Amen. Have been to where I've had plenty of money. Wonderful business down south and turn it around. Give it away. Came to college and I've been to where I didn't know how I was going to put the next meal on my family's table. Not run and tell anybody or ask anybody. I've opened the door and look and there'd be bags of groceries sitting on my deck. Don't you tell me God won't take care of you. I got to hurry and finish for the sake of time. I'm not going to the scripture, but in chapter 17, we limit God with our finances. We limit God with our finances. Yeah, we got Peter walking down the road, and all of a sudden, 2 guys came up to him. We know who they were. IRS, man. I'm like, hey, Peter, hey, guess what? You got to pay tribute, buddy. What the devil's tribute? Taxes, son. You got to pay taxes. Oh, my soul, what are you talking about? You better be coming up with some money. You better get that money. I'm going to tell you what he did. He fretted. I mean, son, he went crazy. He went straight back to Jesus and said, Lord, I'm going to tell you, these guys come up to me. They said, I got to pay taxes. They said, they're going to get everything I got. They're going to get my cars. They're going to get my house. They're going to get my mother-in-law. Well, maybe that won't be too bad, amen. Lord, they ain't going to get everything that I got. What did the Lord tell him to do? This is amazing. This is the Bible. He said, Peter, go fishing. Now, fishing is fun when everything's good, ain't it, brother? Ain't it, Brother Cox? When you ain't got no problems, whoop, you don't even care if anything's biting, man. It's just good right there in the sunshine, man, with your family. I don't even give a rip anything bites. This is good. But when you got problems, the last thing you're thinking about is fishing, amen. I can see Peter. I can see him grabbing that Zepco 33, old bobber, amen. I can see he didn't even stop at the bait shop. I mean, man, he said he went reluctantly, though, didn't he? Huh? You know he did. Now, what did he do? He went in there and sat on that dock. And he goes, so I got to do what God said, whether I like it or not.
Right.
He threw that old fishing pole out there in that water, and I guarantee you he did. Why do I guarantee you? Because I would do just like Peter. And you, preacher, you, Brother Cox, I believe I pointed to you, you too. We start trying to think it out real quick, don't we? What do we got to do? We got to pick up another job somewhere, huh? We got to start trying to figure out how to get some money. We got to start... Well, I don't believe there's anything wrong with that, but the first thing is we need to get to God.
Amen.
We need to get to God. Peter's sitting there trying to figure all this out, and all of a sudden that bobber out there said, toot, 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 go. And Peter's like, good night. When you want to catch these stupid things, I mean, my soul, you can't catch them. I'm about to wreck my life, and Jesus has got catfish on his mind again. That thing goes under. All right, I might as well reel him in. The Bible says he reels that thing in, amen. Not just like that, but you got to have insight. He brought that fish in. The Bible said when that fish hit the ground, Almighty came out of his mouth. Son, let me tell you something. If you and I do right, God will always provide what we need, friend. Always. You can forget it when you're dishonest, when you're lying and cheating, you're stealing God's money, and you're being disobedient. I was preaching out in California. I'd been out there for 2 weeks, man. I'm going to tell you, son, I was missing my family so bad I couldn't stand it. I'm going to tell you, I was so ready to come home. I don't know how many times I'd preached. I done put 5,000 miles on this car. Buddy, I was ready to go. My wife calls me with problems. She said, baby, we got this right here going on at the house. And I said, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. And it was money problems. I said, let me tell you something, honey. You make sure that tie check is the first thing in that plate when it comes by. I said, second thing, you make sure that missions check is in that plate when it comes by. And I hung up that phone. I said, God will take care of everything. And I hung that phone up and I said, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. It's easy. And I'm going to tell you, men, we ought not ever allow them to know that we're fretting, but it's okay to fret sometimes. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir. I was thinking, how in the world am I going to take care of this? And then my mama calls, another call, more problems coming in. And I'm riding down that road. I like to start bragging on God. You know, when Rob Hicks's kids get what they want, Brother Cox, they start bragging on daddy. Woo, daddy, man, are you working out, dad? Are you push-upping while you out there? Man, them arms are looking big. I'm like, you noticing that, son? Woo, dad, have you been taking something? I mean, looks like you got twice as much hair as you did 2 weeks ago. You looking good. I said, pop, quit lying, boy. What do you want, amen? I'm going to tell you, I started saying, God, I love the stories in the Bible, God. I love the miracles. I love to read them, Lord. I said, I especially love over there went old Elijah, back down on that brook. And you said, you're going to feed him with a crow.
Yeah.
Now, look, I know the Bible says ravens, but down in Rock Mills, Alabama, they still crows, amen. And I said, Lord, I can see it in my mind, I believe, just like it happened. I said, oh, he'd be hungry as he could be. All of a sudden, this old crow would come up over the hill, and he'd have a big old 24-inch ribeye hanging off his beak, amen. And I could see this little specks of heavenly Worcestershire sauce just dripping off both sides of that fat. Whoa, and I could see Elijah saying, hallelujah, amen. He's got a baseball mitt, and that crow flies by, and he, whoa, catches it like that. I said, Lord, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen it. But more than that, Lord, I need a crow's landing in my life. And that's a God's honest truth. I'm riding down Highway 5. I've never been on Highway 5 in my life. Listen to me. 2 miles down the road, Brother Cox, 2 miles down the road, God's honest truth, I look up and this sign says, exit Crow's Landing. I took a picture of it. I said, Lord, I'm in a bad situation and all you want to do is make jokes this morning. I said, really, that ain't funny. I was being sincere. And I drove on to this gentleman's house he told me he wanted me to use his home for headquarters anytime I was in California. I was in his car. I pulled up in his garage and I got out. My shoulders wasn't near reared back and straight like they are this morning. It's easy to preach this right now, but not then. I knew what I needed. I went in there crying like a little baby. Went on in there and sat down on the side of my bed in the bedroom he'd give me. Began to whine to God, really. Lord, I'm 2,500 miles from my family. I love my family. Lord, I'm out here for you. I ain't out here for me. I don't give a rip about California. I don't even care if it falls off in the ocean. I said, I'm here because I love you. Lord, I need some help right now. What I need to do, I need to try to do this or do that. And as I was talking to God, I looked up, Brother Cox. Right there, nobody in that house, me and a little piece of paper about that long. I reached up and pulled that piece of paper up and looked at it. It had numbers on it filled out to me with a little dollar sign on it. You're talking about somebody that felt so bad. Amen. He was showing me that that crow's landing was for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I needed for that week, Brother Cox. It wasn't what I needed for 2 weeks. It wasn't what I needed for 3 weeks. It was what I needed for 4 weeks. Let me tell you something, friend. Don't you cheat God out of anything. God will always take care of it. He's going to see if you're going to be faithful first.
Amen.
Oh, let's don't be guilty of limiting a God, unlimited God today. Last one, and I got to shut this thing down. Boy, we limit God in salvation. We limit God in the storms of our life. We limit God with feeding our family. And we limit God with our service. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, in Luke 22:31, behold, Satan have desired to have you that he may sift you as sweet. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I believe he meant that with all his heart. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. What unbelievable, bold language there that he told Peter. Now listen to me and I'm done. I'm going to tell you something. Peter believed what he said. He's ready to go to prison. He's ready. A lot of men have been ready to go to prison and die for the cause of Christ. A lot of men. Way better than the one that you're listening to right now, I guarantee you. Way better. But you see, something happens. They get out there and they start hobnobbing around the wrong crowd, amen. They start warming their hands around the devil's fire. Peter was there. He got over there and started warming his hands around the devil's fire with the devil's crowd. Hey, you're the one that was Jesus. No, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. Yes, it was. You're the one. Oh, dirty, rotten, brick of Bracker wasn't mean. He cursed. The Bible said he cursed. I'm going to tell you something. Not only did he curse, he denied that he ever knew the Son of God. I'm going to tell you, I don't understand that. That's way beyond. I can see running. I can see getting drunk. I can see going back on drugs. I can see going to the bottom of the pit, but I cannot ever see an individual saying that he never, ever knew him. I've never met a backslidden man in my life that said that. Have you, Brother Cox? Never. Peter did. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. You better be real, real careful. I'm going to tell you something. God has got a great work for each and every one of us. It's all different. And let me tell you something. He will supply our needs. How you know, Brother Rob? 5 years ago, he wanted me to build a welding school. And I've been in the welding industry for 30 years this year. I've done some of the biggest projects you could imagine. I pulled jobs that was losing money into multi-million dollar jobs. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I know the industry. And I'm going to tell you, when God told me that, I said, Lord, do you know how much money it's going to take to do this? What in the world? You want me to load up and go to all these churches and beg them to help me do this? No. You keep your mouth shut and you tell the men that'll pray for you and you let me take care of things. 5 years ago, I started out on this journey. There hadn't been a week that went by in my life, whether I'm in a ministry or whether I'm training in a secular world, it didn't matter, that me and my family didn't push forward toward this day. Long story short, he's provided 20 brand spanking new welders. He's provided a building. He's provided a dining hall. He's provided a dormitory. He's provided over $300,000 that I did not have in 5 years. The Lord willing, we are opening the doors this fall to a place that I honestly thought in my heart was probably impossible. But every day I would pray and start moving one step closer, one step closer. Each one of the will of God for our lives are different. But let me tell you something. I don't give a rip how long it takes you to get there. If God's in it and he's called you to do it, he'll get you there. I believe that with all my heart. Now let me tell you something. Don't limit him with our service. Don't limit him with our service. Hey, young man, if God's called you to preach, you didn't surrender last night, shame on you. Shame on you for doubting God and who he is. I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. You're so discouraged. You're ready to walk out. You already made your mind up, and this meeting right here is a pivoting point. I say shame on you tonight. I'm going to tell you, we got to quit limiting the unlimited God. Do you hurt with me, Brother Rob? I'm going to tell you, I'll cry my eyeballs with you. I know what it feels like, but we cannot limit an unlimited God.
Yeah, good. Hey, man.
That year I told you about those storms, that was no doubt the toughest year in my life, but the last 365 days is the second toughest year. This past year, it's been unbelievable. I sold everything we had, Brother Cox. I sold my house. Never have tried to live fancy and all that kind of stuff. 1,700 square foot house. Shut it down. Sold it. Me and my family moved in a camper. Six of us last week made 2 years scratching every bit of the money we could, transporting everything to Stockton, Missouri. You say, what can we do for you, Brother Rob? One thing. Before you go to bed, you get down on the side of your bed and you say, dear God, please give Rob Hicks wisdom. Please give Rob Hicks whatever he needs so he can help the next generation young men in our churches. That right there, if you just promise me you do that, it'd mean the absolute world to me. Let's don't limit an unlimited God. Boy, I tell you, I'm never done preaching. I can preach all day long, but God shut me down. Where are you guilty? Where are you guilty this morning? Well, you guilty, Brother Rob. Every one of them, Brother Bell. That's why he gave me that message. You just looking at old saved redneck up here that surrendered to preach because he loved God. No different. No different from anybody in this building. He just took my voice and said, I want you to proclaim it. That's it. That's it. Every one of us feel the same way. Every one of us serve the same God. Every one of us wear the same kind of shoes and we put our britches on the same way. But here's the thing. Are you going to be guilty of limiting an unlimited God? How about salvation? Huh? Was we guilty of that? How about them storms in your life? How are you looking at them? Are you looking at them like you're going to help and help the next generation or the next brother and sister that's going through the same storm? Are you looking at them like he's picking on me? How about your finances this morning? How about possibly feeding your family? Has it got that rough? If it hadn't, it probably will before it's over with. Could I have a lady come to the instrument? I'm done. I got to quit. But I believe with all my heart the Spirit of God is dealing with individuals under the sound of my voice. How in the world can he put together two messages like he did? How had he shut me down on the same scripture and put these messages together for us this morning? Don't quench your Holy Spirit of God. Make a decision this morning. I'm not going to limit an unlimited God. Let's stand to our feet and the altar's open as she plays. Would you come?